This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, my announcer, Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 40, where we left off last time. Mark, chapter 15, verse 40. We learned last time that on the week that Jesus was crucified, that there were two Sabbaths. There was the regular Sabbath, which fell on a Saturday every week. And then there was the High Sabbath because it was the Feast of Tabernacles. They celebrated the Passover as they were instructed in Exodus 12. And so we found out that Jesus, our Passover lamb, was crucified on a Wednesday. And also we learned that the days began at sundown. Now we left off last time with Jesus having stayed on the cross 6 hours, the number of depraved mankind, and so therefore by staying 6 hours, he paid the sin debt for whosoever will, all mankind. And we left off with Jesus saying, "It is finished." In other words, what I came for, mission accomplished, and he gave up the ghost. At the same time, God rent the veil in the temple, which was high and wide and thick from the top to the bottom, a symbol that now the door is open and whosoever will may come. Also in the temple, the high priest had taken the knife to kill the Passover lamb. Now, it was by now 3 p.m. And remember that the next day began at sundown, we'll just say 6 p.m., and it was illegal to leave a body on the cross on the new day. So let's begin.
There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome.
The three Marys. When they say in the Bible, James the Less, that means James Jr. So one of these Marys was Jesus' mother.
41. Also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem.
The women did not flee when they saw Jesus on the cross like the disciples did. They stayed as close as they could because Jesus had liberated the women. He had treated them with such respect. And I can tell you there was one beautiful heart there, the lady with the alabaster box. It must have comforted Jesus for them to be faithful. It comforts Jesus when you are faithful.
42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath.
They would prepare for the Sabbath. It was about to have the Sabbath feast.
Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, who was also waiting for the kingdom of God.
Joseph of Arimathea was a very respected man, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he believed in Jesus.
Came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus.
Now, he wants to take the body of Jesus off the cross and bury it.
44. And Pilate marveled that he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, and asked him whether he had been any while dead. 45. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph.
Pilate had tried so hard to save Jesus, so he didn't give Joseph any quarrel. Now, it was the law then, as it is the law today, that only the nearest kinsman can get the corpse of the dead one. If someone's in the morgue, the nearest kinsman has to go and redeem that body. So why did Pilate give this to Joseph of Arimathea? The history is documents and tells us why. I have in my library the Traditions of Glastonbury, and we find that Joseph of Arimathea was Mary's rich uncle. Obviously, Mary's husband Joseph had passed on at this time, and it had to be a man to come and claim the body. In the Traditions of Glastonbury, we find that there is proof in Glastonbury, England, that Joseph of Arimathea would sail in a ship to Glastonbury, England, to mine the tin mines. He was rich in tin. And we have documented there, the children sing songs of it, that often he would have a young lad in the back of the ship, about 12 years old. And it is documented in Glastonbury, England, and Traditions of Glastonbury tell us this, that the young lad was the Messiah, and so they sing songs of him. Excuse me. So see, this gives us a little insight what happened to Jesus from 12 years old until 30 when he began his ministry. Joseph of Arimathea then was his great uncle, so he had a right to claim the body.
46, and he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock.
Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that the Messiah, that's Jesus, would be buried with a very rich. Joseph of Arimathea, very rich in tin, had hewn that sepulcher out for himself later on, but he gave it to Jesus. I mean, have you given your grave to Jesus? He delivered you from hell in the grave. Have you given, would you let him lie in your grave? When you accepted him, you did.
I rolled the stone unto the door of the sepulcher.
A big heavy stone so nobody could come and bother Jesus' body.
And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid.
Mary, the mother of Joseph, is Mary, the mother of Jesus, because she had children later on by Joseph after the virgin birth there. So they marked the spot where his body was. Now, they couldn't go in and anoint it then. They wanted to, but remember, it was the high Sabbath, Passover, and on the Sabbath, you're not allowed to go out. They had to go back and celebrate Passover, where they would kill a pure lamb, and even the bread of the fast Passover feast would have the markings like a raspberry color in the bread to represent the stripes of Jesus. So, but they marked the spot. That's where they placed Jesus' body.
Chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had...
Okay, now this Sabbath is Saturday. They finished the Passover, and now it's the Saturday, and that's over. Now they're free to move, okay? Saturday is over.
Sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. Verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week.
It's Sunday. It's Sunday morning.
They came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. 3, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?
They had seen Joseph of Arimathea have that big stone there. Now, you might be saying, God has called me to do a mighty work for him, but there's a blockage here. It's heavy. Who's going to roll away the stone so you can do the work God's given to you? Guess who? God will.
4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away.
Yay.
For it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment.
The angel of the Lord.
And they were frightened. 6, and he saith unto them, Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him.
Now, other gospels say, they said to the ladies, He's not here. He is risen as he said. And I always say, duh. He told you. But see, we do the same thing. Look what he said to you, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. He told you how to live your whole life pure and holy for him. He told you how to do great works for him to bring his kingdom to the earth. He told you how to solve every problem you've got. And you say, I don't know about this. He said it. Believe it.
Amen. 7, but go your way, tell his disciples, And Peter,
remember Peter denied him 3 times,
that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you.
As he said unto you. Remember in Mark chapter 14, Jesus says, Yes, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise from the dead, and I will meet you in Galilee. I will be with you there. He included Peter, because Peter would feel like he was rejected. I want to tell you that the gifts and callings of God are without remission. Though you have fallen, God has not taken away the calling. The gifts and callings are without remission.
8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man.
They had the good sense to not throw their pearls before swine. Jesus tells us that when the Antichrist is here, he comes before Jesus, that when the deceived Christians, that part of the church, 5 are wise and 5 are foolish, Matthew 25, see us, they're going to say, Hey, Susie, hey, Tom, isn't it great that Jesus is here? And we just say, Aha, aha, and we call on our way. In other words, there's a time not to discuss those things. There's a time not to throw your pearls before the swine. Focus on where you're supposed to be.
For they were afraid. 9. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week.
Jesus has arisen. It's Sunday. Now this is a good chance for me to tell you. Do you remember that in the Bible it says that Jesus' body would be 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb? If you're like me when I was a little girl, I tried to figure from Friday evening to early Sunday morning. I could never get 3 days and 3 nights, and I was good at math. Well, let me explain to you. Remember, there were 2 Sabbaths, and he was crucified on Wednesday, and the days began at sundown. Let's count it. Wednesday sundown to Thursday sundown is 1. Thursday sundown to Friday sundown is 2. Friday sundown to Saturday sundown is 3. And sometimes there early in the morning he arose. I'm so sorry, Good Friday. Go ahead and do that if you want, but it's Good Wednesday.
Amen.
Sorry to burst your bubble, but let's just go by the Bible. So Jesus has arisen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils.
Now, he has not yet appeared to those 3 ladies, because a little bit earlier, Mary Magdalena came to the tomb. Now, a lot of people like to say she was a prostitute. No, she was not. She had 7 devils. There is a demon under every bush. They're loose now all over America. The river Euphrates is open. They're in the church. They're in your home. They're in your business. They're in your family. They're in the government. And you're supposed to know the difference. So Jesus cast them out and set her free. So she went to the garden to see Jesus, and she couldn't find him, and she saw a man. Other gospels tell us this, and she thought it was the gardener. And she said, Tell me the place where you have lain my master. I will go and I will get him and I will put him back in the tomb. This little woman's going to pick up Jesus' mangled body and put him back. But then the one she thought was the gardener looked at her with the kind eyes and said, as only Jesus can say, Mary. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. When the master calls your name, you know his voice. Amen. Have you heard his voice? Do you know his voice? She turned around and she said, Rabboni, Rabboni, Master, Master. And she ran to him to hug him in his feet. And he said, Mary, don't touch me. He was not being rude. It's a figure of speech, an Hebrew idiom, which means, Mary, don't hold me up. I've got to run up to the mercy seat and put my blood up there, and I'll be right back.
Amen.
And she went and told them that they had been with him as they mourned and wept. 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not.
You know, Mary Magdalena was the first one to preach the gospel. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. She ran as hard as she could. And so the first missionary was a woman, and they did not believe her.
12. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country.
Now, this would be two of the disciples. Other gospels tell us that they left Jerusalem and walked to Emmaus, where the warm, hot baths were. They thought if they had a warm spring bath, they would feel better. And it was not unordinary for people to join when they saw people walking. So Jesus, in disguise, joined them. And they walked along. And as they walked, Jesus taught them of himself, how he would come and pay the sin debt and arise. All the way from Genesis 3:15, the first prophecy of him, all the way to the end of the Bible. But it says they didn't know him, and he looked at them and he said, oh, fools and slow to learn. But it was getting evening, and they came and they said, we've got to stop somewhere and get some food. So Jesus pretended to walk on, but they said, won't you walk with us? They didn't know it was Jesus. They were grieving for him, and he was right there. You grieve for Jesus, and all the while you never leave, you never forsake, he's right there where you are. And they went in, and Jesus took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And their eyes were open, and they knew it was the risen Lord. He was transfigured, and then he disappeared.
13, and they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them.
So they ran to where the rest of the disciples were locked up in a room, afraid they were going to get crucified. And a doubting Thomas was there. And Thomas said, you may say you've seen Jesus, but I won't believe it until I can see the nail prints in his hand and touch his side. At which point Jesus walked through the wall in his transfigured, resurrected body, and he said, Thomas, look at my nail prints, touch my side. And so he revealed himself to them, and he upbraided them for their disbelief. He told them he was going to arise. I mean, when God tells you something, believe it. You know, there are all kind of promises from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. What's the matter that you're worrying all the time? Believe the promises.
14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not those who had seen him after he was risen. 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Other gospels make this more complete. He gives them the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is for you too, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the end of the age. The Great Commission, that's yours. Everybody, that's your commission. It's a command.
16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Did you notice that he did not say, he that believeth not and is not baptized shall be damned? There is the water baptism, a total immersion, which declares to other as a testimony that you believe that Jesus died and arose from the dead. But there is a baptism. Jesus says, I have a baptism with which to baptize you, a baptism of fire of the Holy Spirit. When the thief was on the cross that accepted Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was saved. The thief didn't have time to get down off the cross and go be water immersed. So you see, yes, water immersion is important. It's a testimony. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essential with belief to be saved, baptized with fire.
17, and these signs shall follow them that believe.
Now, there are many people and preachers that will tell you that from this verse on to the end, that you shouldn't count that as truth, that it was taken out of the Bible. Not so. In the earlier, older Aramaic manuscripts, it tells us that the scribes took this part out, but it is supposed to be in. So Jesus is giving them the Great Commission. Then he said, now there are going to be some signs to follow you if you believe. This goes for all of you under the sound of my voice. Jesus says you shall know them by their fruits. In other words, he's the vine, you're the branch. If you abide in him, you're going to bear fruit. In other words, if you believe, there should be fruit in your life, and there must be fruit in your life. You might not be a believer if you never bear fruit. So let's hear what the fruit is.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
In the name of Jesus, you cast out demons. They are everywhere. They're in the church. They're in your family. They're in your workplace. They're in the government. And one of the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, is discernment of spirits. You are to have that gift, ask for it, and when you see a demon, cast it out. Jesus had sent the disciples two by two to cast out the demons. Now, you don't do it in your power. You do it in the name of Jesus on the grounds of the blood covenant and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you never, ever, 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 ever brag that you cast them out. To God be the glory. For while you are the conduit, you're the vessel he uses, and that's a beautiful thing. He, his name, his blood, his spirit is the one who does the job. No bragging.
Amen.
They shall speak with new tongues.
The tongue there is language, and it's called the language of the Holy Spirit. And the language of the Holy Spirit knows how to communicate to everybody in the world in their own language. 10 days after Jesus had shown himself on the earth, 40 days, 10 days later, he had gone back to heaven. We had Pentecost. They were all assembled, and Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit came in with a sound of a mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire sat on their heads, and they spake the language of the Holy Spirit, the tongue of God, and all nationalities who were there understood. And when you're delivered up to Antichrist, take no thought what you shall say, for the Holy Spirit shall speak through you. It'll be the language of the Holy Spirit. The whole world will hear, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole wide world, and then the end shall come. Luke tells you that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I know that there's a lot of misteaching on that. I know there's a lot of gibberish and fake. But there's a lot of fake in everything. There's even fake news, okay? Now, in an assembly, Paul tells us that in an assembly, when that gift comes upon you to speak in the language, I did it while ago in prayer, you must have an interpreter. So I prayed for the gift of interpretation. Those of you listening to me then, you heard it immediately speak the interpretation in English. So that's required in an assembly. But in your private prayer time with the Lord, you are to pray the language of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will edify you. Satan can't understand that language, so he can't block your prayers. And it will do things that you don't even know that are being done. on 9/11. I was in my morning 3-hour intercessory prayer for people in this world early in the morning, 3 hours. And I was praying in English for the whole wide world. Suddenly the Holy Spirit hit me and I spoke with a language and I rocked back and forth an hour speaking in that. And do you know some people didn't go to work that morning and some people were saved. So see, it is for you. It's one of the gifts of Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the Holy Spirit will pray for you and groan through you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. So in your private time, do that. And when you come together, do that if you have the gift of interpretation or if there's someone who can interpret. It's a powerful weapon. And it's right. It's Christian. It's part of being a Christian.
18. They shall take up serpents.
Now, a serpent is a snake, so don't you go out there and pick up a snake. The snake will bite you. It has not read the Bible. Okay? Jesus tells us in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. The enemy is that old serpent, the dragon, the devil, and Satan. It's one of his play actor names. You have power over serpents and scorpions, over devils and demons. So remember that Jesus, his name, his blood, his spirit gives you power over anything the devil can bring to you, but you must exercise your power, exercise your authority. You understand? Don't let him kill you. Don't let him take you down.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
In the natural, if you go and drink some poison, you'll probably die. What this means, this is an Hebrew idiom, a figure of speech. It means as you are serving the Lord with all your heart, called, chosen, and elected, doing God's work. When people lie about you, call you a false prophet, just hurt your reputation, it says your integrity and your good character will sustain you. That will not put you out of the ministry. You will still be standing when they are gone.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Hallelujah. Lay hands on the sick, the gift of laying on of the hands. Now, there are two parts of your body that you use when praying for the sick. One is your mouth. You speak with the anointing of Holy Spirit, the word of healing. He sent his word and healed you. You will recover health and cure. With Jesus' stripes, you heal. He'll bring it health and cure. And then you use your hands to touch them. Do you know that people who are never touched by another human being often die early? They need the touch. There's power in the touch. Why the hands? Because Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That means out of your inner spirit, the water is the Holy Spirit. And he will flow through your arms like a conduit, onto your hands like a faucet. And that power will come through you. The dynamite power, the resurrection of the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. And that laser beam of light will go from your hands into the body, into the cells, into the bones, into where the disease is, and heal or repair and move shoulder blades and heal scoliosis and make the spine strong and remove pancreas cancer and heal. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Now, do you say, I prayed for them and they got healed? No. Do you know for 35 years I've been praying for people? There have been thousands healed, thousands of miracles raised from the dead. You never hear me say that. Once in a while, God will release me to tell it. I don't speak a word to anybody about that. What he sees in secret, he'll reward you openly. Because remember, it is Jesus the healer, his name, his blood, his spirit. So keep your mouth shut. Don't get proud about it. Don't make people think you're the healer. But when you pray for them, let them know it is Jesus. Amen. To him be the glory.
19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God.
Romans tells us where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Now he's turned the building of the church over to the disciples, but he's right there with them in the Holy Spirit. And we are still building that church, and we're still supposed to have these signs following.
20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen. Now I want to explain to you that these signs are not for just special people. As a believer, it is natural that you have them. So let's get cracking and clean up our inside, yield our lives, and move in the gifts of Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, he came to pay our sin debt, which is death. He defeated death, whose name is the devil. He shed his blood for the remission of sins, and Jesus arose from the dead. And after the Antichrist appears at the sixth trump, the Antichrist time has been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, Jesus is coming again, King of kings and Lord of lords. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. 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 Oh, my Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. We love you. We believe. We receive. And we will always worship you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Next week, we're going to begin a brand new book, Genesis. And we're going to learn what it was like in the world that then was, even before he created the earth. Everything you will need to know will be found in Genesis, so don't miss it. Normally at this time I have mystery moment, but I needed the extra time, so we are going to have Scott's stuff. Let me introduce to you the man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, Scott Merson. Welcome, Scott.
Oh, thank you, Miss Sherry. Mark, what a great book, huh?
Thank you. Just,
that was awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah. Now, you know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is your stuff, Scott?
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day after day, his hands pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge.
Thank you.
Psalms 19.
Thank you so
You're
much,
welcome.
Scott. That is so great. Beautiful. Thank you very much. In a few minutes, I'm going to pray for the sick. So out there in radio land, cyber land, internet, get your sick loved ones. But first of all, let me pray for anyone who's lost. Pray this prayer and mean it. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash all my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash all my sins away with the blood of Jesus.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Forgive me for all my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with fire.
Baptize me with fire.
Lead me.
Lead me.
Let me be a blessing to the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Let me be a blessing to the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, in a few minutes, Scott is going to give you my telephone number, so I invite you to call me and leave a message on my voicemail that you were saved. Now, for the sick. Precious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, by the blood covenant, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of light go wherever there is cancer, completely obliterate cancer, repair the cells that have been hurt in the heart and the lungs and the liver and the pancreas and the gallbladder and the stomach and the colon and the bladder. And Father God, in the brain cells, let blind eyes see, let deaf ears hear, let crippled legs walk, bone marrow be healed, diabetes be gone, be healed. He sent his word and healed you. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we give you glory. Thank you. Now, if you were healed, then you also want to call and tell me that. Now, you know nothing is given you to keep. All of this truth, you're supposed to go and tell. It's actually for you to keep such a treasure and not share it. That would be very selfish. And you're supposed to go into all the world. You say, I can't go into all the world. Well, go to the next person you meet and tell them. Remember this about Jesus. He said his name is called the Word of God. Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I want to give a shout out of thanks to our announcer, Scott Merson, for his Scott stuff and for being our announcer and also for helping me with Mystery Moment. God bless you, Scott.
Thank you,
we appreciate you. You're just doing a great job. Now, this is Sherry Medlock, and I want to tell you that I love you. God bless you. God keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord bless you going in and you're coming out from this time forth and evermore. God make you a powerful Christian, winning souls, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, in the name of Jesus and by his power, and to him be the glory. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
In this obsession with the things this world says make us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping. Like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean of mercy, unending. So come and empty me so that it's you I breathe. I want my life to be only Christ in me. So I will fix my eyes, 'cause you're my source of life. I need the world to see that is Christ in me. That is Christ in me. Done with what holds me down, the things I once was chasing after. Throw off these heavy chains that I have let become my master.
obsession with the things this world says make us happy.
And shout from where I am, from where I've been. He's been there with me. He's built a monument. His very people. So let his people sing, sing, sing. That's so wonderful just to be here now. Everything breathing, praising God in the company of all who love the King. Let us dance, let us sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud and sing. It's so wonderful just to be here now. It's so wonderful here now. Praising under open skies, everything breathing, praising God in the company of all who love the King. Praising under open skies, everything breathing, praising God in the company of all who love the King. Lift your voice to heaven, lift up your head. This is our offering. Lift your voice to heaven. Lift up your head and sing to the one who gave his son. Here our lives will bring. Praising God, open skies, everything breathing, praising God in the company of all who love the King. Praising God, open skies, everything breathing.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
I'm all you ever wanted. Felt the same, didn't say that I loved you. Oh, oh, oh. thought I was good alone. I need you back, yeah. I'm not no fool for love, but I'll be if it pulls you home. I thought I was good alone.
You deserve everything. Oh.
Listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Boaters Exchange. Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange fixes all marine engines, and they sell all sized boats. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090. 0090. Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Cabrin Air, family-owned and operated, and serving the Space Coast area for over 30 years now is Cabrin Air. Available at 321-784-0127. You'll find Cabrin Air listed on Angie's List as well as in the Better Business Bureau. Once again, Cabrin Air, covering all of Brevard County, is available at 321-784-0127. You can find them on the web, too, at www.cabrin.com. That's K-A-B-R-A-N.com. So if your air conditioner is broke, or if you're in need of preventive maintenance, or maybe it's time to upgrade to a new high-efficiency system, Cabrin Air is available at 784-0127. Exceeding all your expectations is Cabrin Air.